Okay, guys, here we go. Parshas Chukas. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe v'al Aaron Lamor. God spoke to Moshe and to Aaron saying, Zos Chukas HaTorah. This is the law of the Torah. Asher tziv Hashem Lamor. Daber ben Yisrael v'yichoy lecha parah duma tumima. Speak to ben Yisrael, take for yourselves a red, perfect cow. Asher im bamum, that has no blemishes. Asher lo ala ala old, that did not carry a yoke on top of it. You know, I taught in Machnas Sport, the rabbi that took over for me ended up, he had to take a day off today. So I went in today and I was teaching the old kids, the 5th and 6th grade kids. So I went to, as I went to go teach the 5th and 6th grade kids, I went in and I said, who knows what a paraduma is? The kid quoted this pasuk by heart in English. By heart. So that should not, I was knocked down. I'm sitting there, I'm like, man, kid, if I didn't lane Monday and Thursday, I'd be really embarrassed right now that you know this entire pasuk and not me. But the fact is, I do know it. I you know, I guess I could do it in English if I really tried. But the fact is, let's try to think for a second. What do we get out of learning Parshas Paraduma? What happens by Parshas Paraduma? You do the Paraduma, you become Tahor, right? Can we do that nowadays? No, because we don't have the Paraduma. So there is no Paraduma. So what are we learning it for? By Korbanos. What's the point of learning Parshas Korbanos even though we don't have the Mishkan, even though we don't have the Beis HaMikdash? Why do we learn Parshas Korbanos? Sam, do you remember what it says? If you learn Parshas Korbanos, I'll make it as if you brought a Korban in front of me. If you learn Parshas Ola, it's as if you brought a Korban Ola. If you learn Parshas Chatas, it's as if you brought a Parshas, it's as if you brought a Chatas. That's what I'm going to make it for you. But by Paraduma, what's it going to be? If you learn Parshas Aduma, I'll make it that you're Tahor? Can't be. You can't purify me that way. You can't make me Tahor just by reading the Parsha. So what in the world are we talking about that we're saying, go learn the Parsha anyway, even though you're not going to become Tahor for it? So listen to this. That's why it's a chok b'li tam. That's why it's Zos Chukas HaTorah. This law, over any other law in the Torah, makes no sense why we're learning it
so
nowadays. We get no
though,
purpose.
So that's why it's a chok, but to understand that why the Paraduma...
That part is something else entirely. That could, in theory, be understood. But this part, that what we get out of it now, why we're learning it right now, is a chok b'li tam. That's something that's considered way, way beyond this. You know, by the way, the Rabbeinu Bachaya says, and this is famous, this is famous. Originally, I think I got this from a guy named Eli Putney. I denied it vehemently. I went up against him and I told him he's a liar. He got a raya from a guy named Yaakov Mantros. And Yaakov Mantros came back and he told me that there was a Rabbeinu Bachaya on Parshas Mishpatim. He was wrong, there wasn't. But the Rabbeinu Bachaya is here. And Parshas Chukas. So this is what he meant over here. It's Parshas Chukas says the following. There are three different types of mitzvos. Eidos are types of mitzvos that we wouldn't have known on our own. We wouldn't have made them up on our own. But now that we got them, we can understand them. For example, tefillin. I never would have thought of wearing tefillin. There's no way in my head I would have thought to myself, you know what? This is what God wants me to do. God wants me to wear black little boxes on top of me. I never would have thought that way. But now that we got it, I can understand why we wear it. Tefillin is supposed to be some sort of a sign where we have Shema on top of our arms, Shema on top of our heads, and we remind ourselves of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, etc. For tefillah, I can understand that. There are other mitzvahs like that as well. For example, tzitzis. I never would have thought of that on my own. Never would have done it. But now I understand it. Sukkah, lulav, matzah. All these things I can understand once they're given. But before they're given, I never would have gotten them. Second type of mitzvah, our mishpatim. A mishpat is something that I would be able to figure out on my own, even if God never would have told me about it. For example, kibud av v'aim, honoring your parents. That I could figure out even without God. Don't murder. Don't steal. Don't commit adultery. Those types of mitzvahs I understand you're not supposed to do, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say anything to me. The third type of mitzvah is a chok. Shatnes, basar v'cholov, para aduma. I never would think of them. And once I'm told about them, I still don't get it. Why can't I eat meat and milk? Why can't I put wool and linen together? Why in the world do I need this paraduma and that makes me tahor? Those types of things are way too off, so the children ask, so that you ask, 100%. That's what's brought out there. Likutei Yehoshua asks, why mention this chok? Chok always refers to paraduma. Why refer to paraduma over anything else? Shatnez is also a chok. Basar v'cholov is a chok. Why say the quintessential chok? Zos chukas haTorah. Here is the chok of the Torah. You know what it is? It's paraduma. Why make paraduma this one? Listen to this. Mida keneged mida. An eye for an eye. Why do we have paraduma? Rashi says that it's a kapara for the Egel Azov, right? What did they say that caused the Egel Azov? about Moshe Rabbeinu? Anybody remember the Lashon that they used? They saw him dead, and it said, Kizeh Moshe Ha'ish, this Moshe the man. What is it? Kizeh Moshe Ha'ish. End of the pasuk? Come on, you can get this. Kizeh Moshe Ha'ish, Lo Yadanu Mehayolo. We don't know what happened to him. We don't know what happened to him. Kadosh Baruch Hu goes to the Jews and says, you guys don't know what happened to Moshe and you're still willing to go worship Avodah Zarah? I'm going to give you a mitzvah that you won't know what's going on with the mitzvah. Mida k'negamida, I'm going to make sure that the mitzvah that you do that's mechaper for the Egel Azov will be a lo yadanu mehayolo, that you'll have no idea what to do with it. And even though Shlomo Melech understood every other mitzvah in the Torah, he was even able to understand Basar V'Chalal. He was even able to understand Shatnez. The one thing he wasn't able to understand was this paraduma. Amarti echkamai, he said, I said that I was smart, but it's too far away from me. It's too far off. I don't understand it, said Shlomo Melech. It's too far away from me for me to be able to understand. Why paraduma? As a media can be that. And by the way, I'm going to point it out. I'll tell you why it's partly a chok, why it itself is a chok, aside from the reasons of this guy becoming tahor, this guy becoming tameh. Where were they first commanded about paraduma? It was not here. Anybody know where? They were commanded about paraduma once before.
Before the Torah?
Before the Torah. You're 100% right. Shom sam lo chok u'mishpat. There, right outside of Midbar Sinai, in Mara, they were taught chok u'mishpat, the Shom Niso, and that's where they tested God. Mishpat refers to Shabbos, keep it up the aim, those types of things that they got there. Chok, Rashi says, was paraduma. This was before the Egel Azov. And they got the concept of Paraduma before the Egel Azov even happened. So if the Paraduma is supposed to be a kapara, an atonement for the Egel Azov, why were they commanded in it before the Egel Azov ever happened? That makes it a chok. It's something that's so far off from what we would think about. It's totally off. It's just strange. That's what the Chanukah Satorah says. Chanukah's a Rebbe, Reb Heschel, says exactly that. All right.
Before the
Maka? I'm sorry. Refuel before the Maka is what you have to answer. What does that mean? That's what I would say to you. What does that mean? There's no doctor that goes up to the guy and starts bandaging him. You're going to break your arm in a minute. There's nobody that says that to him. I realize that a Kadosh Baruch Hu does something like that, but why command them in it? God thought about it before, and I can understand. God commanded us in it before, and it's strange.
You get a flu vaccine. You get something before actually happens to you.
The Maka never happens now. By this case, the Maka happened. The Egel Azov happened. You know what I'm saying? The refuah before the Maka by a vaccine means the Maka will never happen because the vaccine will take care of the chicken pox.
There's a warning then, yeah.
So there's like a warning, but it's not really a warning. Otherwise, he would have said, don't do the Egel Azov. Guys, soon, there's going to be a golden calf. Don't worship it. Whatever you do, don't bow down. That would have been better.
There's a pasuk, I think it's in Yeshayahu. It's part of the Agadah on Megillah. It says, we never get a Maka without getting a refuah first.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I'm just saying, you're right, but that takes a lot of work to understand why and how. That takes a lot of work just to say why and how. And that's what we're saying over here. It's a chok that it was brought to us before and commanded to us before. Not just thought of by God, but commanded to us even though it never happened and we didn't even think about it yet. That means that the real reason behind it is not the ego as of. Okay, here we go. You know, I spend a lot of time on this every year, but I'm finally, I came out with a chiddush. I got a big chiddush this year. I got a big one. And it's going to be based on Mei Meriva. What in the world happened with Moshe Rabbeinu in this rock? So if you guys don't mind, I want to read through the psukim over here, go through these psukim, and let's see if we can understand what's going on with the whole rock business, hitting the rock, speaking to the rock, everything like that. Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Lemer, it's in Pasuk Zayin, Perichov Pasuk Zayin. Kach esamate. You hear that? Take the staff. Take the staff. There are only two other places where he's commanded to take the staff, by the way. Both are in Mitzrayim, and both places in Mitzrayim where he's told, take the staff, he had to hit the river, Aaron hit the river, or hit the ground to come out with the makos. But otherwise, kachazamata always means, use this staff to hit whatever I'm about to tell you to do. Take the staff, the hakilos aida, and gather together all the people. Atov Aaron achicha, you and your brother Aaron. V'dibarta melasela, you will speak to the rock, lay name in front of their eyes, then Osanimov, and the water will flow out. And the water will come out from the rock, and you will give to drink the people and the animals as well. Moshe took the staff like God commanded him. Strange. No, we have a whole pasuk. Moshe took the staff like God commanded him. Moshe and Aaron gathered the whole kahal, all the people, over to the face base of the rock, right in front of the rock. And he said to them, Shimu no hamorim, listen please, O rebellious ones. Haminasela zen notzi lechamayim. Will I take out water from this rock? Do you think I'm going to take water out from this rock? Vayora Moshe's yado, Moshe lifted up his hand. Vayach esasela b'mateu pamoyim. He hit the rock with his staff twice. Vayetu mayim rabim, and tremendous amount of water came out. Vateshta edo v'ram. And the people drank, and their animals drank. Hashem says to Moshe, V'al Aaron, and to Aaron. What does Aaron have to do with anything? Yan lohem mantem bi laktisheni leinei b'nei Yisrael. Because you didn't believe in me to make a kiddush Hashem in front of b'nei Yisrael. L'chein los of you as a kol ozel arz ashen esati lam. Therefore, you're not going to bring b'nei Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. So many questions. So many questions. Why did God tell him to take the staff if he didn't want him to hit with it? Why did God tell him that? It's obvious that he wanted him to hit with it. Why else would he have the staff? What's it there for? That's number one. Number two, why is Aaron involved? Why is Aaron involved at all? What did Aaron have to do with anything? And in the end, why is he punished? Number three, why do we have to speak? This happened once before. It happened in Parshat Bishalach. And God told Moshe, hit the rock. And he did hit the rock and water came out. Why this time does he have to speak to the rock? What is the Milo right now of speaking to the rock? This is number three. Number four, why in the world did Moshe and Aaron say out loud, listen please, O rebellious ones? And by the way, if there's anger involved, what's the please? When did you ever hear an angry person, I mean, aside from when they say like sarcastically, please, you know, when they go like that, when did they ever use the word like, listen, O rebellious ones? No. Moshe and Aaron, listen, please. O rebellious ones. It's the strangest lashon in the world. What is that? No. That's over there. Why hit it twice? They should have hit it once. And then God says, you didn't believe in me. What was the lack of belief of Moshe and Aaron? Where was their lack of belief? Where did they not believe? Number six, our final question. Number seven, I'm sorry. What's the meaning of Kenegamida? What's the meaning of Kenegamida? Oh, you hit the rock? Not going to Eretz Yisrael. Why? What does one have to do with the other? So Rashi answers most of these kashas. We know the famous word of Rashi. He told Moshe to speak to the rock. Moshe ended up hitting the rock. But what happened was, he looked around for the rock. And the rock ran away. I don't know if anybody's seen a rock run away before. I have twice, but it was crazy times. But that rock ran away. We're not going into that right now, please. Don't ask any questions yet. This is for afterward. The rock ran away. The rock ran away to somebody else. You know what? You know what just happened in Silver Spring? This is Tom for the tapes and everything. I was just in Silver Spring for last week. I sat there, and we just got an electronic ticket in the mail for going through a red light. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, what in the world? I didn't go through a red light. Never went through a red light. I'm like sitting there, and we were by that street, that intersection. But I'm like, we didn't do it. That wasn't us. That couldn't have been. And it said what time, and finally we figured out somebody had borrowed our car. Somebody got a ticket with our car and gave it over to me. So I'm like, I was like already convincing myself. I'm like, Rachel, I must have taken the car for a drive at 11:30 at night, and I was right. I must have gone there and just went through a red. I was like making up a story. Like I pretended that I was there. Anyway, regardless. So what in the world is going on? So the rock moved away. Random, right? Yeah, I know. Either way, it's on my mind. The rock ran away and went over to somewhere else. Moshe Rabbeinu's looking around for the rock. He's looking around trying to find the rock that he's supposed to hit, the rock of Miriam. All the people say to him, Moshe Rabbeinu, why don't you just hit any rock? And Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, what, you think I could bring out water from just any rock? Shimuna Amoriam, I mean, Asela, Zed, Nutzi, Lakamayim, you think I could take it out from this rock? Finally, he finds the correct rock. He hits it once. He hits it once and only drops of water comes out. He hits it twice and then it starts flowing out with water. That's how Rashi learns up what's going on over here. That's what goes on. Well, it was a miracle of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do. The question is, what's the big nace that happens when you speak to a rock? Isn't it just as big of a nace if you hit the rock? Isn't it the exact same thing? Like, what's the big deal? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you didn't believe in me. You didn't make a Kiddush Hashem. If you would have made a Kiddush Hashem and spoken to the rock, then everything would have been all good. If you hit the rock and water comes out, the same miracle would have happened. Everybody would have sat there and been like, whoa, I never saw anybody hit a rock and come out with water before. That would have been a tremendous miracle. So why in the world is it any better to speak to the rock? What's the milo in speaking to the rock?
The fact that they already saw once before makes it less accurate.
That was 39 and a half years ago. That's the one thing that I would say, that 39 and a half years ago, I can understand, you know, this is a big miracle. miracle 39 and a half years later, and most of the people that saw that were dead already. Remember, this is the 40th year. So that's the question that they ask in Rashi. Now, the famous Rambam, the Rambam is the famous thing. The Rambam says that the whole Isser, the whole Indian of what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu was that he got angry. He had kas. He got angry. And because he got so angry, what happened over here is that he went up and he caused the Chilul Hashem because the Jews paid attention to every little movement that Moshe Rabbeinu did. Moshe Rabbeinu made a, he moved his arm this way. People looked at him and said, oh, Moshe Rabbeinu just moved his arm. It's like those sportscasters, you know, that sit there and like, oh, it looks like Tiger Woods just moved his club. Oh, it looks like he blinked. I think he blinked again. Oh, he must be, he's looking up into the wind. He's looking up again. You know, like those guys that do every single move? Bnei Yisrael had a 24/7 sportscaster that was up on Moshe Rabbeinu, and every move that Moshe Rabbeinu made was scrutinized and looked at by every single person. Any tiny move that he made that was incorrect, says the Rambam, immediately Moshe Rabbeinu was punished. Because that's a massive Chilul Hashem. Did Moshe Rabbeinu just get angry? Oh, that must mean that it's mutter to get angry. Because that's what they looked at Moshe Rabbeinu. They saw Moshe Rabbeinu as ki'ilu a god. He couldn't do anything wrong. And when Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, it made the biggest Chilul Hashem ever. So says the Rambam, his anger caused them to go down. But questions on the Rambam are simple. Aaron, what happened to Aaron? Why is Aaron punished? Number one. Number two, where does it say that Moshe Rabbeinu got angry? And if you're going to say it's from the line of Shimuno Amorim, listen, O rebellious people, he used the word please. He said please. Listen, please, O rebellious ones. No one who's angry will add in the please. You wouldn't do that. So where does the Rambam get that he was angry? Plus, what does that mean he didn't have Emunah? What lack of Emunah is there? Again, where's the lack of Emunah? He got angry. It's not a lack in Emunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no lack of faith in God. So what does that mean? Ooh, that's a big line that you just said. I got into a big machlokas with my mashgiach my first year on Beis Yisrael about that. It's not so simple. The Ritva says you're right, that it's part of a lack of Emunah, but that's not a simple word. I agree with you, but the Ramban asks on the Rambam, which means you have a machlokas Ramban and the Ritva, whether or not a lack of Emunah is included within getting angry. I'm sorry?
What does the Ramban have to say?
Ramban is another pshat. He argues on the Rambam. He says it's not a lack of Emunah. You can believe...
If you understand that everything happened in my life is for the best for me, God's directing everything, and I'm just a vessel to do what I have to do.
That's a
if it happens you don't like,
great word.
Why would I get angry?
Tremendous word, and you're 100% right. You're 100% right. Except there are certain times, where your emotions can get a hold of you. And even though I believe in God 100%, I believe everything's for the best, that doesn't mean I can't get angry. That is the other way of looking at it. It's like he's over at Avodah Zarah. Yes, 100%. What? A katan ben, you know what? If I'm on the same level as Noah, who's known as a katan ben Muna, I'm all good with that.
No, I'm just saying that if someone has real true Muna,
I hear you. I hear you. That's not necessarily true, although I do agree with you within the Ritva. I do agree with you within the Ritva.
Rashi just says what he says.
Yeah.
Just like the rock. So
100%.
What happened? They're talking about based on...
Listen, do you want the answer? The answer is that that still doesn't make any sense. What kind of a Kalvachomer do you make out of an inanimate object?
Exactly, just like...
No. What kind of a Kalvachomer... No.
It wasn't hit.
If it's a miracle, then if you do a miracle for me, then I'll listen. But you're doing a miracle to the rock, so do a miracle for me as well.
You're doing a lesson from the rock.
No, that's not a lesson that you learn. It's a miracle that it happened, and you're not learning a lesson from a miracle. Wait, the Rashi is a Pelo, and the Mizrahi is the Kasha.
So too.
You're missing the point.
When he speaks,
we'll come back to it. But that doesn't answer Rashi. That brings it as more of a Kasha. It's obvious. Preconceived notions that are right. Rabbeinu Hanano says the other pshat is like this, that they said the wrong wording. When Moshe Rabbeinu said, Shimu no hamorin, he said, Hamina sela hazeh notzi lochem mayim. From this rock will we bring out water. What should he have said? Hamina sela hazeh yotzi lochem mayim. Will God bring out water for you? He didn't say the right word. He said instead of the word Yotzi, he said the word Notzi. And the word Notzi is we, me and Aaron. And because of that, says the Rabbeinu Hananel, it seemed like Moshe and Aaron were doing the miracle and not God. Because of that lack of emunah in God, saying that we're doing it and not God doing it, they were not allowed to bring Bnei Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael.
Is that why he had the staff? The staff was the reason to show that it's not Moshe. He has to use the staff.
100%, but that's not the void within the staff. We still don't know what we're doing with the staff over here. By the way, but according to these other Pirushim of the Rambam and the Rabbeinu Hananel, who said that the Isser is not the hitting of it. They were allowed to hit the rock. That wasn't the problem. That wasn't the issue. But why? God told them, V'dibartem al ha'sela. V'dibartem al ha'sela. So listen to this. There's a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim. Divrei Hayomim Beis, Perek Chof Beis, Pasuk Yud. As well as in Yeshaya, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Dalet. In which the word Dibor means the word hit. They use the word Daber, Dabor, to mean the word hit. So when the pasuk says the word V'dibartem al ha'sela, you will speak to the rock, says the Rosh in the back of the Chumash, in the back of the Mikros Kedolos, it means, and you should hit the rock. He told them to hit the rock. He never told them to speak in the first place. That's how the Rambam and the Rabbeinu Hananel will learn. The Ibn Ezra says a pshat, as we just said. The Ibn Ezra says a fourth pshat. The Ibn Ezra says a fourth pshat. He lost concentration. Now this is a power. You got to hear this word. This goes deep. He lost concentration. He says, a holy man, an Ish Kadosh, can use certain kavanos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He can use concentration by thinking about God to be able to override the nature of the world and cause crazy miracles to happen. If a tzaddik concentrates hard enough, he can cause things to happen that would never happen naturally inside the world. But the tzaddik has to concentrate. When the Moshe Rabbeinu first hit the rock, says Ibn Ezra, he wasn't concentrating fully. He wasn't concentrating fully. There wasn't a full concentration on what he was doing. And because of that, when he hit the rock, what happened? Tiny little drips of water were able to come out, but not enough. The second time he concentrated and he hit it again, and that way he was able to bring out water from the rock. Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you didn't have enough emun in me the first time. You didn't make the Kiddush Hashem that should have been made the first time. You should have concentrated fully and not allowed yourself to become distracted. Because you allowed yourself to become distracted, you're going down, and he was punished for that. That's what ended up happening over there. Distracted from the anger, you have to say. But the anger was the distraction and the non-concentration. A great call as well. And the question that's asked on Ibn Ezra is, what happened to Aaron? We still have not had a satisfactory answer as to what he's doing with the Mata, and a satisfactory answer as to what's wrong with Aaron. Nor do we have a real satisfactory answer to the loss of Amunah that's going on over here. Rabbeinu Bechaya uses Kabbalah. He uses Sod, the MS of the Torah, to be able to answer up the Shiloh. This is our fifth answer, and pretty much the last one that we're going to explain outright. The other ones are maybe the Chassam Sofer that we'll go into quietly, whatever. The chait was, said the Rabbeinu Bechaya, that he hit it twice. He should have waited after the first time. The first time he hit the rock, back in Parshas Bishalach, he hit it once and waited for the water to flow. But over there were only the Zakenim involved, and the Shechina was there on top of the rock. Because the Shechina was there, and there were only Zakenim, he was willing to wait it out. He was willing to say, you know what, the Shechina's here, I'm sure the water is going to come out. But this time, says the Rabbeinu Bechaya, the Shechina was not there. There was no Giloy Shechina. There was no revealing the Shechina. The Shechina didn't appear by the rock. It doesn't say the Shechina came down anywhere by this rock. It doesn't say it anywhere. And he gathered everyone, not just the Zakenim. So when he hit it once, and the water didn't flow out, Moshe Rabbeinu was worried. The people might start complaining. They might start saying about me, oh, he doesn't know what he's doing. And he didn't wait for the water to flow. As if when you turn on a bath, you know, it trickles, and then eventually the flow comes down. He was supposed to let it wait and wait for it to all start flowing down. He didn't wait. He hit it a second time in order to make the process go quicker. And because of that, he lost his ability to bring the Bnei Yisrael inside Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because he wasn't patient. That need of patience, says the Rabbeinu Bechaya, is what you need in order to bring Bnei Yisrael inside Eretz Yisrael. You need to have that need of patience, that sablanut, to be able to bring up Bnei Yisrael inside. And without that...
Was it his fault, though? Over there, the Shechina was there. Over here, the Shechina is not there, so maybe he just assumes it comes out when there's a Shechina.
I definitely hear you. This is Moshe Rabbeinu we're talking about. And that is his fault. For whatever level that Moshe Rabbeinu was on, for him to be able to understand this is his fault. Said to Rabbeinu Bechaya, this was something that he should have thought about, something that he did. He wanted to take away the tlunos, the complaints of Bnei Yisrael. Okay, you can. Just that you should know, if you would have waited, it all would have been okay. Okay, those are all nice answers. I like them a lot, but again, we haven't answered Aaron. Now there are other answers from the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer, by the way, goes, if you want to read a parish on this week's parsha, that will just mamish blast through the parsha. Literally blast through. Read the Torah Moshe and the Chassam Sofer Ala Torah on the beginning of Parshas Chukas. Absolutely unbelievable. He gives about 12 reasons for the problems of Mei Meriva. At least 12. Very quickly, just say they should have learned Torah by the rock. That was the problem. Number two, they should have separated the water between the people and the animals. That's what they should have done. Or they should have used Moshe's matah. They were using Aaron's matah. That's why they did it twice. Once with Aaron's matah, then with Moshe's matah. Unbelievable answers that he gives. Okay. Forget about this. There's a Tzitz Eliezer, Likutei Yoshua, Yalka Ruvenia, Panach Raza, Rabbeinu Ephraim, Abala Turim that give other answers. I'm going to give you my answer. I guess you could say it's a combination of a lot of different Perushim that I've seen. And I got one little twist at the end that I think answers up almost every Shiloh that's here. The pshat is like this. They were supposed to hit it and speak to it. And when I say they, it wasn't only Moshe Rabbeinu. It was Aaron as well. Moshe and Aaron were commanded. Not only are you guys supposed to hit the rock, Kachas Amateh was told to Moshe and to Aaron. Moshe, take your staff. Aaron, take your staff. Take the staff and go to the rock. And then V'dibartem El Haselah. What's V'dibartem El Haselah? You will speak. Is that in plural or in singular? V'dibartem El Haselah is in plural. Both of you should speak to the rock. It should be a deal between Moshe and Aaron together. Why both of them? Because when Miriam died, the schuz of the water was brought back by the combination of Moshe and Aaron's schuz. So both of you have to bring it back. So Moshe and Aaron, together, you guys go there and hit the rock and speak to the rock at the exact same time. Why both? I have a word for that, but it's long. And I don't want to go into it right now. It's based on a Chassam Sofer. But they had to do both. That was the idea. They did it. They did it correctly. When they said the words, Shimu Noha Morin, listen, O rebellious people, they were introducing the words that they were saying to the rock. The words that they were saying was, Haminasela Azem Noti Lachem Mayim. From this rock we will bring out from you water. That was talking to the rock. They were talking to it. They spoke to the rock and they said, we will bring out for you water from this rock. Not in a question form, Haminasela Azem Noti Lachem Mayim, but rather in a statement form, Haminasela Azem, it's from this rock that we're going to take out water from you. And they were speaking to the rock and telling them that the water was going to come out. That was the V'dibartem. And then after, what do? They took their staffs. Moshe lifted up his staff and hit it. And Aaron took his staff and hit it as well. Why did it say only Vayoram Moshe as Yado? Because we see throughout, Moshe represents him and Aaron. Moshe represents them both. It also says Vayomer Lahem as in Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe represents Aaron. That doesn't mean Aaron's not there. It's the same thing that we learned in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. We'll mention it through the Gadol, and the other person is there as well. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Iker, and Aaron did the exact same thing with him. Whether Moshe Rabbeinu was a Shliach for Aaron in the speech and in the Mateh, regardless, they spoke, they hit the rock, they did exactly what they were supposed to do. Vayetzu Mayim Rabin. And the water came out immediately. Not like what Rashi says, that it came out teepin, and then afterward a flow. Vayetzu Mayim Rabin. Tons of water came out. Vateshreidu will be wrong. So what was the problem? They didn't tell Bnei Yisrael what they were doing or why they were doing it. They should have explained beforehand to Bnei Yisrael. Explain to them, guys, here's what's happening with me and Aaron. Here's what's going on between me and Aaron. They didn't. They didn't say a thing. They didn't explain that we have to hit the rock and speak to the rock at the same time for the reasons that I said I'm not going to get into right now. They didn't explain their reasonings. They didn't go into the tzivui that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them. All they did was they called all the people together and said, Shimu no amorim. Listen, O rebellious people. They did not explain it all. They just introduced it and then they did exactly what they were supposed to do. To the people, it sounded like they weren't speaking to the rock, they were only hitting to it. They were only hitting it. So even though they did it correctly, they spoke to it and they hit it, the people saw it as if they were speaking to them and not to the rock.
That's not good, because that's not a reason for them not to go into Eretz Yisrael, because they...
Hold on. That's why Rashi, that's why Hashem said to Moshe and Aaron, Yan lo amantim bilak disheni. What's the lack of emuna over here? The lack of emuna you had is not through the kas, not through the anger, that like the Ritva and the Rambam wanted to say, like what you were trying to say before, Akiva. Not through the anger. You didn't believe me that this was for the good of Bnei Yisrael. You assumed that the hitting of the rock was supposed to represent Bnei Yisrael, that they deserve to be punished. You thought that it was a punishment over here. You didn't make the Kiddush Hashem that you could have made by explaining to them what you're hitting the rock for and what you're speaking to the rock for. You could have done it in such a good way, and Bnei Yisrael would have had a milah. And that's what it means, that Bnei Yisrael would have learned from the rock, and they would have been able to understand, like, oh, if the rock can listen, then we'll go ahead and listen. It wasn't because the rock gave off. The rock is an inanimate object that a crazy miracle happened to. You can't make a Kal V'Chomer from a miraculous object. The Mizrahi acid, the Beresoda acid, the Gerari acid. You can't make a Kal V'Chomer from an inanimate object having a miracle happen to it. There's nothing to say about that. But what the people said was, if they would have explained why speaking to the rock would work, because speaking to something, just like God speaks to something, you should listen, etc., they would have heard that and they would have said, oh, now we understand what Hashem wants from us. He wants us to listen to his Zivor or whatever it was. If they would have done that, then everything would have been good and they would have made the Kiddush Hashem. But they didn't. And that's why Aaron was involved as well. And therefore, the Mida Keneged Mida. The Mida Keneged Mida is, you're not bringing them into Eretz Yisrael. When you bring people inside Eretz Yisrael, there's going to be issues that are going to come up. You're going to have wars against people and they're going to fight and they might lose something. You have to be able to explain to the people everything they need to know before they go in. You have to warn them which wars they don't have to worry about people dying and which wars they have to worry maybe somebody's going to die. Because you guys, it's not anger, so to speak, because you guys were short with Bnei Yisrael. You did not fully explain what you needed to do. You didn't tell Bnei Yisrael what you wanted to say to them. Because of that, said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's why you can't go inside Eretz Yisrael. And that's the whole thing behind it. Now I want to add on one little thing to over here. The Chassam Sofer says there was a shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they were supposed to use to bring out the water. Listen to the shame. You know what the shame was? The shame of Hashem? Shame was this name of God, Miriam. Anybody know that Miriam is the name of God? It's one of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Miriam, Mem Resh Yud Mem. You have to say that name. And Moshe and Aaron, says the Chassam Sofer, was supposed to say that name of Hashem over to the rock, and immediately through that name of God, that power was going to bring water through the rock. Water to come out through the rock. Problem was, they said it. But what did they say? Shimuna Hamorim. Morim is the same letters as Miriam. There's no Vav in Morim. It's Mem Resh Yud Mem. They said the right word, but they messed up within the word. Now I'll tell you why. The anger got to them, says the Chassam Sofer. The anger made them mess up the word. They said the word in Ksiv, in the written letters, but they didn't say within the Nekudos. Now what's the problem with that? Listen to this. You know Nekudos have a, they have Gematria as well. For example, a Chirik, a dot right in the middle, a dot right in the bottom, I mean, that counts as a Yud. It counts as 10. A Shva counts as 20. A Segel is 30. A Patach is a Vav, that counts as 6. And a Komat is 16. It's a Yud and a Vav. It's a Yud and a Vav. You ready for this? Miriam is what in Gematria? There's 10. Then there's 20. That's 30 altogether. Then there's a Komat. That's 46 altogether. 46. Morim is a dot on top and a dot on the bottom. That's 10 and 10. That's 20. 46 minus 20. What were they missing? Shem Havaya. The 26 letter name. That's 26. Number 26. The letter Havaya of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were missing out on Havaya of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were missing out on that name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when they said the word. And because they were missing out on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, they didn't put Hashem on the rock. Therefore, the water didn't flow out immediately and they had to hit it. That's why they had to hit it. That's an unbelievable Sam Sofer. But all right, one last thing. We're going to end off with this. Sichon and Ogar brothers. Everybody knows Sichon and Ogar brothers? Everyone knows that, right? Sichon and Ogar brothers are mentioned in Nida, Samach Aleph and Aleph. My question always was, how do we know that Sichon and Ogar are brothers? Where do we get that from? And how are they brothers? If Og is not the same Og from the Mabul, okay, then I can understand Sichon and Ogar are both children of whatever, grandchildren of Og. That's what Rabbeinu Bachai says. Rabbeinu Bachai is a little bit of a problem of it. Okay, because Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of Og. Why wasn't he also afraid of Sichon? If they're both great-grandchildren of the original Og, why were they? He should have been afraid of both. Here we go. What? No, but they were both giants. They're both giants. No, but if it's a different Og, who's a descendant, so Sichon's his brother, he should have been afraid of Sichon as well. They're both descendants of the original Og, so he should have been afraid of both of them, not just one of them. But Chazal say it's the same Og. That Og lived over 720 years. He was well over 720 years old. They say he died at the age of 846. He was a very, very old guy. So how was he a brother with Sichon? He survived the Mabul. Nobody else survived the Mabul except for Og. Who was Sichon? How did Sichon survive the Mabul? So I have altogether eight answers. Ready for them? I'm going to do them quick. Number one, the Rush says, this is an unbelievable Rush. They both stayed in Eretz Yisrael, and the water only reached up to their ankles. All the other people outside of Eretz Yisrael drowned in the waters, but in Eretz Yisrael there was no flood. So they stood in Eretz Yisrael, and they were able to survive in Eretz Yisrael. Only Sichon and Og. Yes, Vade. That's 100% conflicted with other Midrashim. But that's number one. That's one thing over there. Number two, by the way, came up to their ankles, right? Where did Moshe Rabbeinu kill him in the end?
The ankle.
Number two, Sham Chazoel, also known as Sham Chaza, he was one of the angels that came down to earth by the times of Noah, right before Noah. And some say it was Achya, his son. That's Rashi and Gemara Nida say. Sham Chazoel or Achya were together with Ham's wife. Ham's wife before the table. Ham's wife became impregnated with Sichon, and Sham Chazoel or Achya was the father of Og beforehand. Ham's wife was impregnated with Sichon, and that's why Ham had Bia with his wife on the table, to hide the Maisa, to pretend like the kid was his. But when the kid was born, it was a massive giant named Sichon. They're all just like, guys, that's not your kid. They realized exactly that it wasn't his kid. Some say that Shamchazai made it onto the table. He was a shade that made it onto the table, and when he made it onto the table, he had Bia with Ham's wife, and that impregnated her, and later on Sichon was born. That's shot number four. I'm sorry? Shamchazai was an angel. He was able to make giants, but he was like he was a shade. The question is, can a shade impregnate a human being? That's a big power. That's already Shaios Teshuvas. Not for now. All shade him except for two. Two shade him made it onto the table. One of them was Shamchazoel. I know, 100%. Yeah, just be cautious. You know what the kasha is? It's brought down in Shaios Teshuvas, by the way. If a shade is bia with your wife, is your wife usher to you? If a shade is bia with your wife, it's brought down by halacha. If a shade is bia with a Kohen's wife, is the wife now usher to the Kohen? It's brought down by halacha. What the halacha is. Anyway, that's number four. Number five, Shamchazai was with not only Ham's wife, with Noach's wife. Shamchazai was with Noach's wife before Noach married her. Noach impregnated her with Sichon on the Teva. Before the Teva, she was pregnant with Sichon. So Sichon and Og were, again, they were brothers from the same mother, but not from the same father. Sichon's father was Noach, and Og's father was Shamchazol from before the Teva. That's a Pella. Number six, Noach's wife was raped on the Teva by Og. By Og Melech HaBashan. That's a Pella. We're talking about Pellas. Well, they are brothers, but he's also the father. The Moshe Zakenim brings that down. Number seven, Og held his pregnant mother with him. He held onto the Teva in one hand, and he held onto his pregnant mother in the other hand until the Teva was over. Then he let her down, Baruch Hashem, and Sichon was born, and Sichon was the brother of Og. Unbelievable, no? But number eight takes the cake completely. Og saved his mother in one hand, was born her during the Mabul, and she became pregnant afterward. Why not? And then Og was the father and brother again of Sichon. Are those unbelievable midrashim? All those come from? The Panachraza, the Moshe of Zakenim, the Yalgun Ruveni from the, what did I do last year? There's one other sefer that I got it from. I forgot what the fourth sefer is from. From the fourth sefer, they're all, what's that sefer called with all the Shalshelis, something or other, Shalshelis HaTorah, I forgot what it is, the Perish and Rashi, Perish and Mashulash and Rashi, Perish and Mashulash and Rashi. Absolutely unbelievable Midrash, but eight all together. I thought that was awesome. How have I, we should be Zoka to come up with a ninth Midrash, and how Oak was such a tummy dick a person.
Yeah,
we should do it again. By the way, guys, we'll stop with that. Have a good